So back to you, everyone. My name is Daughter Vito Abel Oyeria, and I would like to serve forever. I'll be starting very soon. And now, drop for top finding your seats for Sarasotis.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel Zelaya Hawkins. I want to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. It's an honor and a privilege to introduce you to the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel, now entering the sanctuary.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel, Sarah. Welcome to today's women's presentation. Are you ready to be taught at the great city of Israel? Me too. Have your pens, pencils, notebooks, and your books of Yahweh. And as you are taken on an educational journey, it's a privilege and an honor to introduce the first speaker. Please stand and give her a warm welcome.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is A Teacher of Understanding Will Teach Us Not to Just Read the Book of Yahweh, but to Also Study It. Please turn over to Acts 8, verse 30 through 31. It's on page 848. So Philip, running up to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" Also in Romans 10, verse 15, it says, "How can they preach unless they are sent?" Overseer Yisrael Hawkins is the one sent to teach this message to all nations. Overseer is teaching not to just read the book of Yahweh, but also to study it. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says to study to show yourself approved. This means to study and practice so we can qualify for Yahweh's kingdom. When we study all the things we have been taught by the one sent, and we study it over and over again, we will get more understanding of it. So remember the study spider. So we have tools like the Bible code, gematria, prophetic words, the House of Yahweh booklets, new moons, and the sermons. Here's another way. Concordance pages. Overseer said, "If I have time to write the book of visuals and the booklets, and so on, we should have time to study and read them." And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, citizens of the city of Israel. Please be seated. A citizen is a resident of a city or town. As citizens of the city of Israel, we have certain duties. Some of the duties are obeying the rules in the city, paying for the upkeep, and attending school. There are also responsibilities which include volunteering and respecting others. Let us all prepare to come to the great city of Israel at the great Passover. Practice righteousness every day, people, and be ready to enter. Please welcome another one of our residents.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please sit. Let the peace of Yahweh be with all of us who are here today, those who are joining us over all different forms of media, and those who are hungering and thirsting after great Father Yahweh's righteousness. Also a warm shalom to our great body of women of New, who will be speaking on words of life, anything inspiring that is taught by the great last day's witness at the house of Yahweh. So I want to start off with something that was very inspiring to me, nice and fast. During the time when we were sewing, in the days of the sewing of our lovely gowns, something occurred. I'm going to change the names a little bit, okay? There was a seamstress who could not see very well. Her name was Abby. Let's call her Abby. And there was a volunteer who came to be, you know, to help the sewing. Let's call her Volunteer G. Volunteer G. So Abby, the seamstress who could not see, was supposed to teach Volunteer G how to sew the seams on our gowns. So they said to the seamstress, Abby, we understand about your eye, and would you like to let somebody else, you know, help so you won't get hurt, you know, not to hurt or anything, help. Seamstress Abby said, no. I have sewed all my life. I want to sew. I can do this. So that day, she had to teach Volunteer G how to make the seam to our wonderful gowns. Volunteer G said, actually, she knew our seamstress could not see so well. So she said, she's just there anticipating, just waiting to see what's going on. How can somebody who cannot really see teach me how to sew nice? Well, I brought a piece of linen because I want to show you. Volunteer G said she could not believe her eyes. Seamstress C, who could not see, felt. She had to feel the linen all the way, and with care, compassion, precision, dedication, she had that thing perfectly done and taught the volunteer how to sew a seams for our gown. With care, precision, and dedication, the seamstress who could not see. When you go home, check your gowns. So I said to myself, I was going to try to see. I can't see well either, but then she would have to feel it like so. Let's say I cannot see it. She'd have to feel the top, feel the ends. Are you with me? And get a perfect seam teaching how to make our wonderful, wonderful gowns. And with this, we turn over to our first great speaker for inspiring words of life. Praise God.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech is We Are. We Are. One morning, a young boy opened his front door and he saw his dog laying on the porch. And he looked at his mom and he said, Mom, our dog is so lazy. He is always sleeping. And his mother said, Do you know what the dog has been doing for you all night? While you are asleep, he is awake, looking to make sure no one is coming in your yard. When you are gone, he is there. He is with you. Just even when you don't realize he's there, he is there. And when I heard this, I immediately thought of Yahweh. What Yahweh does for you is not immediately apparent, and you will not always understand it. But as Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, those who trust in him, Yahweh is there for you. So in order to trust in someone, you have to know what they're about. You have to know what they stand for. Through repeated acts, it is earned. So, in thinking about why I believe in Yahweh, I thought, how did I get to know Yahweh? How did I get to know Yahweh? And it threw me all the way back to when I was younger, and we were all, there was a phrase I was always said, you need to cram for this exam. And this word study, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, study. But how do you get to know Yahweh? Through your studies. That's the only way that you get to know Yahweh. And if you can turn over to Second Kefa 1 verse 19. Second Kefa 1 verse 19. It's found on page 961. It says, we have the prophetic word made more sure, what you do well to heed, as a light that shines in the dark place until the dawn and the morning star rises in your hearts. Notice, what you do well to take heed. Heed means to pay attention. When you take Yahweh's word, you pay attention to it, then this is what you learn. You learn who Yahweh is. You learn what he stands for, his plan, how to attain a position in his kingdom, but also how to earn Yahweh's trust. You learn how to earn Yahweh's trust. And you learn that his words are true. And you learn his words are true because in trusting in Yahweh, you believe what he says, which are his prophecies. And then most of all, you understand that Yahweh believes in you. So whenever you're learning to believe in Yahweh, you learn that Yahweh also believes that you can do it as well. He believes that each and every one of us can become like him. And it's in the toughest times and in the times that don't seem so bad that you must keep Yahweh in your mind. With Yahweh, we have a foundation, we have rules on which we must live by, and we have a purpose and a secure future. If everyone can turn over to Psalms 23, verse 4. Psalms 23, verse 4. It's found on page 442. Found on page 442. Psalms 23, verse 4, it says, yes, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. For Yahweh, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And in the third book of Israel, Pastor explains that the rod and the staff are his word. So Yahweh's word comfort us. And I've heard many times people say that the laws of Yahweh, they comfort me. And I'm like, how can the laws of Yahweh comfort you? How can they bring you comfort? But then I realized it was me who was not allowing them to comfort me. I had to change my mind. I had to be willing to learn, willing to study. I had to want to understand. It was me that had to accept Yahweh. Yahweh was giving me the options, but I had to accept Yahweh. And this is an everyday choice. It doesn't come with a certain age. At this age, I choose to be in Yahweh's house. It is an everyday choice. Everyday choices that you choose to believe in Yahweh. And remember, Yahweh believes in you just like you believe in him. Say that. Say, Yahweh believes in me just like I believe in him. With Yahweh, we have a secure purpose. I want you to really think, what does believing in Yahweh mean to you? And what does Yahweh's plan mean to you? And when you think about that, and you accept Yahweh, that's how Yahweh comforts you. That's how you really believe in Yahweh. So I made a couple of things of what Yahweh's plan means to me. Yahweh's plan gives me a hope, a feeling of need, something to look forward to. Yahweh's plan isn't to this certain point and it's done. It is forever. So it gives you that there's not a time limit. And it gives me a future to achieve my goals. So if you turn over to Hebrews 6, verse 10 through 11. Hebrews 10, 6, verse 10 through 11. It's found on page 946. It says, for Yahweh is not unrighteous. He will not forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we want each of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, in order that you do not become slothful, lazy, disinterested, but followers, imitators of those who through the faith they had patience and inherited the promise. A promise. When you have a promise, that means you keep your word. Yahweh has given us the opportunity because we are the best. We are the best. And we are the best because we're believing, we're enduring, and we are striving together. Say this with me. Say, we are believing, we are enduring, and striving together. Because Yahweh believes in you, so it is only for us to believe in Yahweh. And with this, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech is The Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the name by which Yahweh is known throughout all Scripture. When you think about it, we know he's the father of Abraham because Abraham believed in his promises. You know, he was faithful to Yahweh. And then Isaac was then the evidence of his father's faith. But why did Yahweh choose Jacob? In order to understand why Yahweh chose Jacob, we must first understand why he didn't choose Esau. Because he was the firstborn, right? He should have inherited everything. That was the pattern. So what did he do? In the third book of Yishl, chapter 22 through 24, Pastor goes in depth about Esau and the life that he chose to live. And he says that he could have inherited everything, but he lost it because he was hungry. Hungry for what? Was it for money? Was it for a lifestyle? Was it for power? Was it for material things? What was more important to him that he gave away his future? That raises the question that Romans asks us, what will you allow to separate you from the body of Messiah? Okay, but today I want to focus on Hebrews 12, verse 17, 16 through 17, excuse me. Hebrews 12, verse 16 through 17. And it says, so there is no fornicator, no profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no way for repentance, though with tears sought it out. And that's what I want to focus on today. Because Pastor tells us that he wanted it so bad. He was desperate for it. He wanted to come back. He said, I understand. I did something wrong. I threw away my opportunity. But please, let me have a part. And what he was granted was the position of a slave. So the question I want to ask you is, what is worth 30 years or more of peace and joy and life and be able to live Yahweh's blessings for 30 minutes of what? What is more important to you? The word repentance is number 3341 in the Greek, and it means to change one's mind or purpose, or as Pastor says, to be sorry for sinning. But like it says, he had tears. He wanted to change his mind. He was desperate, but it wasn't enough. Wanting the kingdom of Yahweh isn't enough. Wanting to become perfect isn't enough. It's the first step, but it's not enough. Okay, intense emotion does not equate change. What's better than any emotion is a decision, a choice. And that's why Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted. Okay, converted means having been adapted for a suitable purpose. And we all know that Yahweh is adapting us to become teachers, to become leaders, to be able to teach throughout the universe his laws. But first, we must show him our works through becoming perfect in our thoughts, in our words, in our interactions. In every situation, our first thought must be Yahweh. Our first thought must be, what does Yahweh want me to get from this? Okay, now, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but you can sit in services and you can get inspired. You're like, okay, as soon as I get home, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. But then you walk in the door and it kind of wears off, right? Has anyone experienced that or is that just me? Okay, so we've all experienced that. But see, conversion is a process that cannot be temporary. It has to be everlasting because Yahweh's plan and his kingdom is everlasting. Think about like a computer. When you're typing, you have a default font, right? You can type in that font. Does that mean that you can't type in any other font? No. You can go out and you can type in something else. But the second you hit default, you go back to where you were. So we have to change our default. We have to change the core of who we are. We have to align our character to become Yahweh, to become according to his likeness. Now, where does that start? with our minds. You know, scripture says, as a man thinks, so he is. So as we think, and that's one thing that I'm learning, is that every single thing you think, it becomes a part of your life. It manifests it whether you want it to or not. Okay, so scripture says, think some things that are pure. Think of things that are holy. And when we create that new normal and we live according to Yahweh's standards, yes, we'll make mistakes. But the difference is, that's not our normal. We have become according to Yahweh's standard. Okay, and then when we have that faith, then our faith stands up in the moment. So when we're upset, we think of Yochanan 14:1 that says, don't be troubled, believe in Yahweh. When we're sad, we think of Jeremiah 29:11 that says, think of the thoughts and the plans that I have for you of peace and not of destruction. When we feel overwhelmed, remember that Yahweh told us that he won't give us more than we can bear. When we see a situation that doesn't go the way we want it to, and maybe a root of bitterness starts to grow, we remember that everything Yahweh has is for a purpose. Now, what helps me is keeping in my mind that one sermon the pastor brought out of how our lives are like a courtroom. Each action that we take, it determines whose side we stand for. And we know Yahweh is going to win, but who is going to win in your life? Every day, every second, every minute, every hour. Okay, so let's go back to my title, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So why did Yahweh choose Jacob? Yahweh chose Jacob because he took hold of the opportunity before him. He saw the decisions of the people around him, and he said, no, that's not for me. He purposed in his mind to make his every action and thought according to Yahweh's laws and to align his life accordingly. And in doing so, he became a part of Yeshua Messiah's bloodline. Our family doesn't matter. Our background doesn't matter. Our past choices don't matter. Because Malachi 1 verse 2, Yahweh said, was not Esau his brother? Yet I have loved Jacob. So when we change our mind and we align our default settings to be according to Yahweh's standards, then we'll have the blessing of being known as the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac, the father of Jacob, and each and every one of you. Because you have chose to make Yahweh your most high. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech today is From Me to You. Every day is a struggle. Every day is a battle. Every day is a test. But it's up to each and every one of us to give Yahweh our best. Why are you here in Yahweh's house? What is your purpose for being here? What do you feel strongly about being in the house of Yahweh? Many of us sitting here today are baptized members. We made a vow to Yahweh that we will remain in the house of Yahweh forever, and that we will not leave our place, and that we will wait on Yahweh, no matter how hard the test and trials might get. At times, we find ourselves trying to escape the test and trials, and we already know why we're being tested. In order to enter into this kingdom, we must first prove ourselves to Yahweh that we love this kingdom more than all else. In Jeremiah 17, verses 10, it says, I, Yahweh, search the heart and test the mind. One thing that we cannot do is fool Yahweh. Yahweh knows our heart. We might can fool man, but we sure cannot fool Yahweh. The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Only Yahweh can. Yes, at times, this test and trials can get severe, and we do make mistakes and we slip up. No one ever said this road would be easy. But what does it say in 1 Corinthians 10:13? There is no temptation taken hold of you except what is common to man. And Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will make a way of escape that you might be able to bear the test and trials. At the end of the day, Yahweh has your back. He's got your back. And that's how we need to be to each other. No matter how different my life might be from yours, yes, my test is different from your test, and your struggles are different from mine. But at the end of the day, me and you are striving to get to that same level, which is perfection. We should be encouraging each other, building each other up, not tearing each other down with our mean words and dirty looks and rude opinions, which are not needed. If it's not going to build someone else up, keep it to yourself. Because at the end of the day, I'm not more better than you, and you're not more better than me. I'm not more perfect than you, and you're not more perfect than me. We are all still learning and growing. Instead of trying to, sometimes we find ourselves trying to focus on someone else's life and someone else's struggles. And we forget that we have our own walk with Yahweh as well. It's easy to nitpick and point fingers at someone else's wrongdoing and clearly once again forget that we have struggles as well. Every last one of us sitting in here today are struggling to get to the kingdom. If you turn over to Luke 41, verse 7, turn over to Luke 6, verses 41 through 42. So why would you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye but not notice the beam that is in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me pull out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself cannot see the beam that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First pull out the beam from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to pull out the speck that is in your brother's eye. The purpose of this scripture is to focus on your own walk with Yahweh. Allow Yahweh to work within you. If you see your sister struggling or having a hard time, all you have to do is encourage them, help them, build them up. In Galatians, you turn there, verses 6, 1-10, it says, "Brothers, if a man is indeed overtaken in some sin, those of you who are spiritually strong in the law of Yahweh, restore him in a spirit of humility, considering yourself that you can also be tempted. Let him who is trained in the law of Yahweh share all righteous things with him, who is learning, thereby contributing to this spiritual support. Therefore, as the opportunity arises, let us do righteousness to all, especially to the members of the family, the faith of the house of Yahweh." We cannot do this alone. That's why we need the adults and the older and wiser ones to help us, to encourage us, and to mold us and shape us into the character of Yahweh. So when you see us struggling, don't just push us away. When you see us falling short, don't give up on us. So from me to you, let's have faith in each other. Let's put our faith in Yahweh, for Yahweh has faith in us. And with this, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. You know, at times we tend to take for granted our last day's witness and even Yeshua Messiah, not understanding the level of protection that we have over all the world. So now I say, together with my people, we thank you, Pastor, for providing us with that protection. You see, we are shielded by the shadow of Yahweh's protection. We are shielded by the shadow of Yahweh's protection. We're comforted by his mercies and his compassion, right? We're blessed. And not just blessed, we are saved through our affliction. Because Yahshua demonstrated so perfectly in chapter 36, verse 15, he said, "Yahweh saves the afflicted through their affliction." We're delivered from deception. And not just deception, but we're delivered from the shadow of death that plagues the whole world. Through the countless teachings the endless sacrifices made by who? Come on, we're supposed to be shouting it. Made by who? Yisrael Hawkins, right? And for that, we are not lacking in no way, form, or fashion. We have every tool or resources needed to succeed. Now, this success I'm talking about is not of a material thing, because we know in Matthew 16:19 it says that those who store their treasures on earth, where rust, mold, thieves, robbers consume it. But in verse 20, it tells us to store our treasures in heaven, where none of these things take hold of it. Now, this leads me to my title, Give Thanks to Yahweh. Now, there are a lot of things that we can be thankful to Yahweh, but today, I ain't got all that time. I'm just going to focus on two. We are seeds, saints of Yahweh. We are taken from different parts of the earth. And when I say we, I'm speaking also to myself. We are taken from different parts of the earth as a seed and planted in a soil, a rich soil, the house of Yahweh. Now, the house of Yahweh supplies everything that we need to be a righteous daughter of Yahweh. And I love these two words, a high queen of Yahweh, because we have it. The house of Yahweh supplies it, gives it, and we are the ones would have to receive it. Shaul said in 2 Corinthians 6:18 that Yahweh wants to be our father if we be his people, if we love him, if we obey him, and if we give thanks to him, I would be your father. King Solomon, the book of Psalms is a beautiful book because it shows the level of honor, respect, and glory that Solomon had for Yahweh, because he said in Psalms 136 verse 12, give thanks to Yahweh, for he has brought us out of Egypt. Now that Egypt represents sin. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he has brought us out of sin. With a strong hand, outstretched arms, he has brought us out of Egypt. So give thanks to Yahweh, for he has brought us out of death. In Hebrews, it speaks of the faith, Hebrews 11. We have Abraham, Isaac, Yeshua, even Moshe, and there are many more. By the faith that they had in Yahweh, they were saved. And Hebrews 11:1 states, the scripture kind of gets me a little choked up, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things that we dream for, of peace, of joy, and love. Evidence of things not seen. Look at the world. There's no peace. There's no love. We see too many examples of babies being ripped apart from woman's womb with no one to defend that child. We have so many innocent bloods being taken away, and who defends them? Yahweh has given us an opportunity to life, to live life. And this life is not just having the ability to be alive, but to live a life worth living. And live a life of free of pain, of suffering, of death. And each and every one of us, sure, great overseer, has given us the ability to give life. Because Shaul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eyes have not seen, no, ears have not heard all of the things that Yahweh has in store for each and every one of us. We can't imagine it. He said in Jeremiah 29, the plans that Yahweh has for us, the seed of Israel. And in closing, I would like to you to remember Psalms 136. Remember who brought you out of sin. Because we were all in sin. And no longer we are to be called the children of Israel. But we rightfully claim We rightfully say it for the whole wide world to hear that we are the children of Yisrael Hawkins. So give thanks to Yahweh, for he has brought us out of debt and he has given us life. So please stand and help me welcome my great sister.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I have a question for you all. Do you believe in Yahweh? Do you believe in Yahweh? Yes. Yes, we believe in Yahweh, right? And Revelation says, hold fast that which you have, that no man will take your crown, right? Or no woman will take your crown. So how do we do that? Well, that's a question, right? Where do we go to find our answers? We go to the scriptures, as we've been taught by our overseer, Yisrael Hawkins, correct? Correct. Okay, so if you all turn over to Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to stay there for my entire speech. And verse 6 says, "For it is Yahweh who gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Now, one way you can definitely prove that that is true is looking at the news. You see, all the people in the world who don't have Yahweh, because remember, Yahweh was removed from mankind in 1611 when they took out the names from the scriptures and replaced it with the gods. And just look at the news. I just looked yesterday for three articles. And one was, "Crimes against migrants waiting in Mexico continue to climb." Is there any wisdom in that? These people already have suffered a lot, and they're waiting to migrate, and there's crimes being committed against them still? It's a sad thing. And then, yes, just yesterday, there was gunfire at a Pensacola naval base, leaving four people dead, including the shooter, and several others were wounded. Now, in the naval base, what are they there for? They're there for war. So does this come as a shock? No, that's what they've been trained. That's what they've been training their children for their entire lives. And I just checked the abortioncounter.com, and as of 9:42 a.m. when the previous speaker got up here, there had been 44,295 abortions since midnight. That's today. That's way more than the people who are here right now sitting in this room. That's inconceivable to me. Now, Proverbs 2 verse 14 tells us that these people find joy in doing evil. They find joy in it, and they find that it gives them more money. Yahweh's way doesn't bring them money. Yahweh's way doesn't bring them the power over other people that the God's way brings. So they look to it. Now, last week, Overseer said, "Blessings come from the house of Yahweh only." That's Psalms 118, verse 26. "We bless you out of the house of Yahweh." He also said, "Get your mind off of play and wasting your time. Studying to show yourself approved, that's practicing righteousness. Study and practice righteousness." He gave us a very specific instruction. He said, "Get the latest book of Israel and go from there. Study the book of Yahweh with your scripture." Now that's how we get wisdom from Yahweh. That's how we get the wisdom that the world doesn't have. And Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it gives us actions that we need to take. It says, "If you will accept my words," that's a verb, accept is a verb, "and will treasure my laws within you," treasure is also a verb, "if you will incline your ears to wisdom and apply your mind to understanding." So you have to take steps towards obtaining this wisdom. You can't just sit in the services, listen, and go home. You have to apply your mind to it. "Yes, if you will cry for knowledge and cry aloud for understanding, pray to Yahweh, ask him for guidance. If you seek after her," remember Matthias 6:33? If you seek the kingdom of Yahweh, all these things will be added to you. Seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And search for her. Search, Isaiah 34:16, search out and read the book of Yahweh. As you search for her as you would for a hidden treasure. In Matthew 13:44, Yahshua gives us the parable of a hidden treasure. The man goes out, when he finds it, he buries it again, sells everything he has. Would you sell everything you have to be here at Yahweh's house, to gain this wisdom, to gain this knowledge? In Proverbs chapter 2, again, verse 7, it says, Yahweh reserves sound understanding for the righteous. It's not for the world, because they aren't practicing Yahweh's laws. They don't have any sound understanding. And that word sound, it means based on reason. Was there any reason to the articles I mentioned earlier? No, there's none. It also means sense. They're senseless. And remember, Yahweh said their senseless minds have been darkened. And it also means, which I found this interesting, holding acceptable views. Now, remember Genesis 4:7, where Yahweh said to Cain, if you do not do righteousness, will you not be acceptable? And the Hebrew word for that sound understanding is number 8454, and it means deliverance, success, wisdom, and support. So if you read that again, Yahweh reserves deliverance for the righteous, he reserves success for the righteous, he reserves wisdom for the righteous. And going on, it says, for Yahweh guards the paths of the just and protects the way of his saints, so that you can understand righteousness, justice, and equity. And then it says, when wisdom enters your mind and knowledge is pleasant to your being, you have to enjoy this. The exact opposite thing from the waves of the world. You have to enjoy it. It has to be pleasant to your being. Discretion will guard you and understanding will guard you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the ways of the world. Now, great house of Yahweh, we've come so far. Let's hold fast that which we have so that no one will take our place. And with that, if I could please have my song.
Look how far we come to the finish line. Take a look at yourself and say, oh, it's been a long race, but I know you'll make it to the finish line. You and I, guided by this road, oh, it's only one way. Here shall I say, job well done, my faithful servant.
Please be seated. So Yeshua said that many are called, but only few are chosen. And then in Matthew 13, he gives us the parable of the sower, where he shows that 3 out of every 4 that Yahweh calls to his house will fail. And Overseer told us what one of the hardest things that we will ever do is to remain in the house Yahweh, but not just stay in the house Yahweh, but to stay strong in righteousness until the end. And I remember Overseer telling us one time about a person who had come up to him and said, you know, I see you overcoming, but I just can't. And of course, it was never really a matter of can't, but a matter of won't. The desire to sin is with us, and it's very strong, especially in these last days when we have sin at its peak and the increase of knowledge that makes sin so easy to do these days. But Yahweh said that we can do it if we will set our mind in advance and determine to overcome the sin. And I heard a quote once that really stood out to me. They had said, I always knew I would be successful because I wouldn't allow anything else. And I thought that that was a really powerful statement for 2 reasons. One, because it shows that success is 100% within our control based on the choices that we make. And 2, she said, because I wouldn't allow anything else. She wouldn't allow anything to derail her from reaching that goal. She wouldn't allow any distractions to distract her from reaching that goal. And it reminded me of in Matthew 6:33, where Yeshua said,
seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. It has to be the top most important value in our life, that we would be willing to, as the speaker before said, sell anything that we have, give up anything that we have to, in order to reach this goal. And the 3 out of 4 that do fall away, that don't reach this success in Yahweh's house, it's because they hold on to these stumbling blocks that keep them from growing in righteousness. They hold on to their worldly families or a root of bitterness. They hold on to the worldly entertainment, the love for money. And as Yeshua said, it chokes out that righteousness, and then they become unfruitful. They lose sight of the goal and why we are here, and they become distracted, and it starts to kill that spirit holy within them. So how can we guard against this? How can we, what are some of the things that we can do that will keep us focused and strong and firmly grounded in Yahweh's house so that we can make our calling and election sure? So the first one is to remember the goal and the why. Remembering our goal and why we are here is what is going to get us through those hard times when we're struggling or we're down. When we remember why we're here and what it is that we're striving for and why we must go through these tests and trials, because then we're able to put things into perspective. As the apostle said, then we're able to find joy in our tests and trials when we remember that they're actually a blessing, because it's giving us the opportunity to be able to prove ourselves for Yahweh's kingdom. The second one is to study, and to study every single day, morning and evening, because that's the pattern that it shows in those scriptures. And I know this one is talked about so much, and sometimes, you know, we don't always want to make it a priority, but it's so important because, one, it keeps us from being deceived. As one of the speakers before said earlier, it's the only way that we can truly know Yahweh. It's the only way we can strengthen our belief in Yahweh. It also keeps our minds focused and keeps our minds off of the things of this world. And studying is our only defense against Satan and her influences. And if we aren't constantly filling our minds with that armor of Yahweh, then we're opening the door to Satan to come into our minds and to take full advantage of our time and our thoughts. The third one is getting and staying involved in the work of Yahweh. Now, this gives our lives meaning and purpose, working to build the kingdom of Yahweh rather than just to fill our pockets or giving our time and energy to build the kingdom of Satan, which is going to soon crumble and fall. It also keeps us in community with righteous, like-minded people who have the same goals as us. And it's also where we experience many of our tests and trials, but if we allow Yahweh to work within us, it will also be what strengthens us and grounds us further into his house. Okay, the fourth one is getting involved in the classes. And we have the awesome opportunity of having class 3 times a week here. And I know for many people that this has been a great resource for growing in the knowledge of Yahweh and also developing that love and interest in the Holy Scriptures. And the fifth one is righteous friendships. And I heard one time someone said that you are a combination of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And that's why the Peaceful Solution talks about so much about the influences and conformity and friendships, because if we're not surrounding ourselves, we have to surround ourselves with friends who are going to support us and encourage us towards our goals, to encourage us towards righteous works, who love us enough to point it out to us when we fall, and who are also there to encourage us and help us to stay on track when we fall. Okay, the sixth one is to seek righteous counsel, because throughout our time, there's going to be times when we fall and we stumble or we're struggling with something, and rather than trying to deal with it on our own, Yahweh provided us with righteous counselors and supervisors who can help us to see past our emotions and give us the righteous advice based on Yahweh's laws. So those are just a few of the ways that we can keep ourselves firmly grounded and immovable in Yahweh's house so that we can grow in righteousness and be fruitful, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, and aren't led away like silly women who have no root and become distracted by the cares of this world. And in closing, I would like to read Yeshua's words in Luke 13, verse 24. He says, "Strive, contend for, and exert oneself to enter in at the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and will not be able to." Strive to be the very elect. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech tonight, or today, is How Will We Prove Ourselves? Recently, when I found out we were speaking, I was praying to Yahweh, what do I speak on? And as soon as I finished praying, the radio station had Pastor playing, and he was closing his sermon. And Pastor quoted Psalm 110, verse 3. And he said, your people will have proved themselves before. But then he said that you won't find the word before in that scripture, but it's there. Pastor also mentioned that it would be a great speech for us to do. So if you're anything like me, I like a great challenge. So that's what I tried to do. And I asked myself, how will I have proved myself? And how am I proving myself at this time? So let's look at Psalm 110, verse 3, and what it says. And let's find that word before. Your people will have proved themselves obedient to the law on the day you go forth in power. They will unite with you, arrayed in their holy garments, like the morning dew. They will completely cover the earth, governing with you. Now, the word will have in the first part of that sentence is past tense, which indicates that that action has already begun or has already been done. So we can see the word before that Pastor's talking about, even though it really isn't there. But it is. Also, if you look at the next two wills in that scripture, we see that they're future tense, which shows us that this will be done. And that's what I want. But how can I reach it? How can I know that I'm not deceiving myself? Because as Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 through 10 teaches, it shows us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I test the mind to give every man or woman according to his or her ways and according to the fruit of their doings. According to his ways and according to the fruit of our doings. And in Psalm 139, which I encourage you to go home and read that psalm word for word. And don't just read it, study it. Because it teaches us that nothing can be hidden from Yahweh. He knows our comings and he knows our goings. He knows everything before we even speak it. Yahweh wants us to make it. He wants us to make it into his kingdom. He wants us to be a part of his house. But in order to do that, we must do our part. I have to do my part. Nobody can change me. Nobody can make my choices for me. I have to make those. And those choices have to be according to Yahweh's laws, or I'm going to disqualify myself. I need to be honest with myself, but I also need to examine myself. And I need to ask, are the scriptures real for me? Are these scriptures that we read real? And if they aren't, then I need to figure out why. The scriptures hold every single answer that we will ever need, if only I can humble myself enough to hear what those words are, to hear what those words are teaching me. One valuable scripture that I love to read and use as a reminder is in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17, and it says, obey those who have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch out for your souls. They watch out to help us get into the kingdom as they who must give account. That's what our counselors are doing. That's what the priests are doing. That's what Pastor does so painstakingly all the time for us. Do your part, do my part, so that they can do so with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you or me. We have all learned how influences affect us, and how I have to ask myself, how does my influence affect those around me? Because everything I do is seen by someone, and I have to realize that that effect could be a negative effect on someone. When I choose to venture outside of my home and I don't put my face veil on, even if I'm just sitting on the steps behind the weeping willow, what effect did that choice I made have on someone that saw me? What influence am I having on our young women and our young children when they see me without my face veil on? Have I influenced this kind of rebellion in others? Because when I don't do as we're instructed to do, then I'm being rebellious. That's the bottom line. I'm being rebellious. And what am I saying to Yahweh? What do we say to Yahweh every time we choose to go against something that's been instituted? Because it's given to us for a reason. It's given to us for our protection. What I'm saying is I don't care. I'm saying it isn't important to me. I'm saying I don't care what kind of example I set. And I'm also saying I don't love my sisters. And that's not what I want. We have to remember in 1 Samuel 15:23 that it tells us that rebellion is a sin, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the same as iniquity in God worship. Because you have rejected, or because I have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected me or you from being, and of course the scripture says king, but because we're talking about going forth in power, let's read that again. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from going forth in power. Don't we want to go forth in power and change what's going on in this world? Because remember, we're looking at Psalm 110:3, as Pastor said. Okay, so what about the sister that comes to me and says, I've got to talk to you, I'm going through so much right now. And you stop and listen because you want to support your sisters, right? No. Every one of us has been appointed as counselors. We have been appointed counselors to be able to go to them, not to go to my sister or go to this person or go to that person. We've been appointed counselors. They're the ones that can help us. I can't help you, but when I listen to you, I can hurt you by helping you to sin. And I don't want to do that to you. So we have to remember, we're making the scriptures real here, and we have to apply the scriptures to our lives. So look at Leviticus 19:16, where it tells us not to go about tale-bearing, because that's what we're doing. And when we're listening, we're still tale-bearing, even if we don't say anything. And Proverbs 10:19 tells us that in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. He who controls his tongue is wise. We each have counselors that have been appointed to us, and they're there to do the listening. They're there to do the guiding, not me. In Proverbs 11:14, it tells us, where there is no guidance, people fail. And we've seen plenty of people fall because they haven't sought that guidance, because they've rejected that guidance. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. But I have to follow that guidance. The next thing that will keep me from going forth in power is wasting my time. And that's a big one. You know, well, I've already studied for a half an hour. I'm just going to look at Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube for just a little bit. 5 hours later, the dishes aren't done, the clothes aren't hung up, and I'm not prepared for class. These are the things that we have to sit and think about. But at least the radio station was playing, and I got to have that go in my subconscious mind, so it wasn't that bad. Yes, it was, because you didn't, or I didn't, redeem my time as we should, as pastors begging us to. Colossians 4:5-6 tells us to walk in wisdom to those who are outside, redeeming the time. We have to redeem the time. Let your speech always be seasoned with love. Always be with love, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you must answer each woman or man. Family of Yahweh, each and every one of us needs to take this knowledge and make it real in our lives. We need to apply it in our lives. We need to help one another make these words so real that we'll never let go of them. These aren't a bunch of pretty words. They're life. Is there something that you are interested in? It's in the scriptures. And you can take those scriptures and you can make them come alive by applying that interest. Pastor brings these words alive to us every single time he gets up and speaks. And you can too. You've been given that ability. Remember, we started with Psalm 110 and 3. Your people will have proved themselves obedient to the law. Pastor once said that he believed that Yahshua wrote Hebrews. So I would like you to turn over to Hebrews 13:19 as my last scripture. And it reads, and remember, Pastor says he believed that Yahshua wrote this. So that's how I'm looking at this scripture. It says, "For I earnestly plead with you to do this, that I can be restored to you sooner." So that I can be restored to you sooner. Family of Yahweh, is Yahshua asking each and every one of us to hurry up? I pray Yahweh blesses our understanding. And if everyone would please stand for our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. How is everyone doing? Israel is calling. Come to Yahweh's house. That's my topic for today. And also the great city of Israel, this wonderful place. And we're going to look at how important this place really is and what it is. So we're going to start out in Matithiah 5:14. Now, we know that this has been brought out before regarding the great city of Israel and the hidden codes it was referred to, that this is actually talking about the great city of Israel. So it says, "You are the light of the world. A city which is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, remember, you are the light. And what is the light? Right? The light is the law, Psalm 119, verse 105, and Proverbs 6:23, which talks about that the law is the light, and it's the way to life. Light, going a little further, also light is, from dictionary.com, the definition of light is to cause the face or surroundings to brighten, especially with joy, animation, or the like. And the word brighten means to improve, gladden, cheer, or encourage. So that's why we are going to be the light of the world, because we keep the laws, we teach the laws, and the laws is what brings joy and encouragement and hope. It's the only thing. The light of the world. Now, do you remember what the world is? Yes, well, the world, Pastor talked also about the world, that the world is also, it's the universe. So, and remember that he talked about Jupiter, that Jupiter is not a planet like we thought that it was, but it's actually the shield that's encasing a universe in there where Yeshua sits on high. So you are the light to the world, because we're going to bring these laws, not just here on earth, but to the whole universe. A city, so we know that's the city of Israel. It's set on a hill, and that brings to mind Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4:1, the mountain or promotion of the house of Yahweh, which is set on a hill which cannot be hidden. So, if you look at the slide again, oh, can you show in your matria? I put it in your matria, and it's in the Jewish, it's word 4410. So I wanted to show what that word is. So Strong's Hebrew 4410. So look at these words here. We're talking about the city of Israel, and it says kingship, rulership,
royalty, kingdom, royal kings, and it goes to word 4427, which is to reign as king, be made a king, the city of Israel. And that reminds us of Proverbs 31, to those who will reign as kings and priests. And it also means to indeed reign, surely be king, made queen. So it's queens too. It's the women and the men. We're going to be kings and queens. And then it goes to word 4431, which is advice and counsel. And we're talking about the city of Israel here. And that brings to mind 2 Samuel 20, verse 18, to ask at Abel, to ask at the city of Israel, advice and counsel. And it's also positive law number 172 and 174, which is what? Listen and obey the overseer of the house of Yahweh. Listen and obey the administration of the house of Yahweh under the guidance of the overseer Israel Hawkins. And this is advice and counsel. As a second witness, so the same word 4410, which was the Yomatria for Matithia 514, which is about the city of Israel. It is, that went up there, the Greek word. This is a second witness. So this is the Greek. The first was the Hebrew. Now this is Greek 4410. And it says, most important seat, seat of honor, chief seats, highest seats, uppermost seats. And the overseer had explained to us that this last generation is going to be the highest in authority in the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom that's going to be the governing authorities over everything of all creation. It comes from two words, 44:13 and 25:16. And 44:13 is first chronologically, which is time order, or in order of importance, chief, best, and the chiefest. And the other word, 25:16, is to sit down, be seated, sat, and sitting. Now, you remember when the overseer talked about Boaz and Rhea, and he explained that Boaz sat at the gates, and sat means judgment. He judged. He was an authority. He talked about he sat at the gates, and they were on the threshing floor. They threshed about what to do about the problems. They found the solutions because they were the council, and they gave advice and counsel. So I thought that was so neat that those two, those definitions talked about the city of Israel. That was the Yomatria for that. Okay, so we know that this whole city of Israel, this is the finishing touches of Yahweh's administration. It's a 6,000-year plan of mankind, and there were seven works, and this is a seventh work under the seventh Malach Israel Hawkins. So I thought this was so awesome, too. This book, The End of the Ages, the 11th book of Israel. So this was 2011, The End of the Ages. And the overseer here is talking about when his disciples came to him and they said, tell us, when will be your coming? When does the end of the age? And Pastor explained that in the King James Version they put world, but it shouldn't have been the end of the world. It should have been, when is the end of the age? And then he said, Pastor said on page 63, he said, this should have been translated ages. When is the end of the ages? Because there's seven ages or seven generations. So when is the end and is coming? And they said that he knew when they knew what that meant, that they wanted to know when that is, though. When are you coming back? When is the end? And he was talking about, it's the finishing of the administration at that time, the completion, and he said, that's what you're training to do, that's what we're training to do right now, and that it's almost here. And then he goes to explain about the age and what it is, and he said, this word ages, it should have been put there instead of world, it means generation. And he said that it's word number, and I want you to look at this. This is 2011. Okay, can you see that? Yes, he said that this is word 1074. So, yes, praise Yahweh. This is the end of the ages, the book of Israel, 2011. The overseer Israel Hawkins told us and was the first one to show us that tag number, Israel Hawkins tag number that we hear so much about now. That's us, that marks us, the 1074. That was 2011. And do you remember when we actually got that tag on his car, what year that was? It was 2016, yes, and you can read about that in the 16th book of Israel. I think the sermon was 130-2016, and he explains all about how we got that. And he said, I know it's important. There's something about that tag number. And he told us it was number 1074. But he laid the seed here in 2011 and actually showed us the tag number 1074. And that's how amazing Yahweh is, because he plants a seed, he puts layer upon layer, and then when it's time, he says, you will understand it perfectly. And we do. So I just thought that was amazing. And again, remember, you are the light of the world. And remember the universe also in the Hidden Code search recently, where it talked about inside Jupiter. And it talked about how inside Jupiter was misery, destruction, death, hopelessness. It's the same as you see here, but probably worse, because remember, it's a pattern of the things from on high. So they just brought it down here, Israel Hawkins explained to us, and brought that same misery here from the breaking of Yahweh's laws. So we're going to clean up the earth and the universe. And that's why it gives so much more meaning to the scripture in Romans 8:19, when it talks about that the creation is groaning and earnestly waiting for the revealing of the sons and the daughters of Yahweh, so that we can come and bring it, because the administration is here in the great city of Israel, and this is the gateway to the kingdom in heaven, of heaven. So I encourage everyone who hasn't come to the house of Yahweh to make sure that you're here for Passover, and everybody to come to the house of Yahweh, to the city of Israel. And if you're here, remember to stay here and keep training to be part of this great administration and take your place in this great city of Israel, which is the kingdom of priests, which is going to bring priests peace to the entire earth and to the entire universe. Yahweh bless your understanding at this time. Would everybody please stand and welcome our next speaker.
Shalom. You can be seated. That was a very uplifting speech we just heard. Praise Yahweh for that. Okay, so I'd like to see a hand of all of those who are parents. A little higher. Wave. There you go. We got a lot. Excellent. Okay, and children, I'd like to see a little wave from you. We have children in the audience? Excellent. That's right. If you're a big child, that's great. We're all children of Yahweh. Okay, so it inspired me. I was actually looking for my speech manual to try to give this speech today in order. And what I came across as I pulled out of my little stash here was the parenting manual. And I said, oh, I guess that's what I'm going to be teaching today. And it's really excellent to remind ourselves of our great responsibility that we have for our children. And we have that great responsibility so that we can make our children those parents one day. That's what it's all for. And I'd like to start with just the simple definition of parenting. It says here in the parenting manual, to raise a child by its parent or caretaker. And this raising of a child includes to teach, okay? And what are we going to be teaching them? We're going to be teaching them the laws, right? And it's also to protect them. And what are we going to protect our children against? Sin and deception, defilement, okay? And then we're to care for them. And that's all part of that, too. It also means to nurture. And I really like that word, nurture. It really encompasses a whole bunch of things. But it's from, and it's only mentioned one time in the scriptures, Ephesians 6:4, and I'll read that in a moment. But the word nurture comes from the Greek 3809, and it means tutorage, like tutor, okay? Educating or training by discipline, correction, which regulates character. And we know that from the Peaceful Solution. So this teaching, correcting, instructing, you know, it's not beating your child, right? It's sitting down with them and teaching them. And then if we see something wrong, we pull them back a little bit, right? Okay? That word also, nurture, in the dictionary, it means to nourish. Okay? So we have a responsibility as parents not only to teach and train and correct, but to nourish. And that is by the scriptures, by the classes, that's a nourishing, but also by the food that we eat. And it, you know, sometimes, you know, we let our children eat some things that might create a reaction that's not so positive. You know, sometimes we lack food and that can make us grouchy, and sometimes we eat the wrong things and that can make us irritable. And so as a parent, we're going to find these things out and we're going to know what's great for them to eat and what's not. Okay, and that's why it's very important your children to, you know, really pay attention. Your parents know, and because they're learning, and then they give it to you. Okay, we also prepare our children. That word, parenting, means to prepare. What are we going to prepare them for? We're preparing them for, with the foundations of the laws of Yahweh, to enter into Yahweh's kingdom. Okay, that's what our goal is, to get them into that kingdom. And to guide them. And we have that in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he won't depart from it. So that guidance will assure them to make it. Let's see. Okay. Now, that's pretty much simplified the raising of a child. And we know it's like so much more. But those are just the general. Now, all these, please forgive me. And then with that, okay, so then we have that definition, but it requires some character education in order to use those teaching tools. And those are understanding skills. You'll need understanding skills, you'll need patience, tolerance, love, guidance, a sacrifice. It's no longer me, I'm by myself. No, it's all of them, and then I'm last. Okay? A sense of humor. I heard someone giggle. That's true. You got to have a sense of humor. Forgiveness, commitment, diligence. Those are all character traits that are built through parenting. So if you didn't have it before, you're going to have it by the end of that time. And the profound realization of the honor that Yahweh has bestowed upon you as parents or caretakers. Okay? So I applaud you parents and you children. You give yourselves a hand. Praise Yahweh. Now I want you to think. Do you think that you could pack all that in right before you have a baby? You think you can say, oh, let me just cram for that exam. I'm going to do that. No. That's why, with each generation, we're going to teach them as parents, and hopefully we know that before. And if you don't, yes, we have classes that are going to bring you up to date. But it's very important that you start now. And pastors suggest you start when they're this big. Okay? And then hopefully they're going to start way before they have their children. It's very important. You can't cram all this in. And every time, or whatever you do, whatever you make yourself better, learn something else new to, you know, help your child, you're writing that on your DNA. And then you're giving that to your children as you have them. Now, if you add to that with your child, they're not only going to add what you changed and you accomplished, but what they change and what they accomplish. And it just keeps on like snowballing into a really great snowball. Okay? Now that's for our parents. That's a great commission for our parents. But, you know, the children have a great part in that too. Okay? The children, it's your turn. You have a job too. Do you know what it is? Any of you children know what your job is? I'll give you a little hint. It starts with an O. Hey, I heard it. Obedience, yay. Okay. Obey, okay. And that's where that nurture comes in Ephesians 6:4. It says, obey your parents and Yahweh, for this is right. Okay? Otherwise, you have Proverbs 13:1. It says, a wise son or daughter values his father's instruction, but a scorner will not listen to rebuke. They won't listen to correction. They just like push it off. Now, that can really be, you know, turned when they're really tiny. And that's where they're not too young to be corrected. It's going to be so much easier than when they're big and they can literally push you away. It's very important. Now, I want to read in the, this is the fifth book of Yisrael, The Kingdom of Priests. And that's what we're making our children, our, you know, queens and priestesses and priests. Okay, and it's on page 87, and it's verse 40, and pastor says, the last stage of the house of Yahweh is the children. The last stage of the house of Yahweh is the children. The children need a time period when we can teach them 24 hours a day for a little while. And they need that time period. That's the same school Yilia had. If you want to study what he had, that's what we need today. And I'm going to drop down to verse 42. It says, it's a promise of Yahweh for these last days that these young children receive this. There's a way of getting it, and we're going to have to do it. It's a must. That's where we read in Deuteronomy 6:7, diligently teach your children. Diligently. What does that mean? Diligently teach it. It's important. It's a must. Okay, so right now we're not capable under the circumstances, but really at this time they were working on it, and we did do it. The house of Yahweh, Yitro Hawkins, made it possible that we teach our children 24 hours a day, and that's such a blessing. So let's praise Yahweh for that. That's a prophecy that came to pass, so we got another one. So there's a great breeding program that's going to take place in the kingdom. It's going to start with us and our children. We'll be replenishing the planets with people of Yahweh, with sons of Yahweh, with the family of Yahweh. And with that, I conclude my lesson, and if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next teacher.
Welcome, everyone. You can all be seated. Yes, I was given another opportunity to wear my super gang robe. I really love it. I love it a lot. And I would like to ask, how many of us own a book of Yahweh? Not just have a book of Yahweh. You own your book of Yahweh. Like, it's my book of Yahweh. You own it. Great, great. This book of Yahweh, when you look at it, it's not just a book. It's the life of Yahweh. It's his life. And as you open it, and it says, the book of Yahweh, yes, the Holy Scriptures. And then when you turn it over, it's by Yisrael Hawkins. There's no other. We already know he's unique and one of a kind. But what we are able to teach, I know there's a group of women who come up here, and when they're done speaking, they always thank Yisrael Hawkins for this opportunity. Now I see why they say that, why they thank him, because without him, we wouldn't have a book of Yahweh. Without him, we wouldn't have this opportunity to teach what he has taught us. And I just think that's just an honor to be here to speak, because when I'm up here, I don't just see the people in the sanctuary. I imagine the universe. Everybody was given permission by Yahweh to listen in. They're tuned in, and they can hear us. They can hear every single thing we're saying. Now, they're going to hear me talk about, here's my title. It's called Our Father. That's right. He our Father. And Father Yahweh, he is very humble, because he did not have to share with us his relationship situation, but he did. Yahweh's relationship is out there. His love life is out there. This woman, this wife of mine,
Everybody knows. Everybody's aware. Every single being is aware that this woman is your wife, your lady, your woman. Yahweh didn't deny it. Like we learned by one of the priests, he had to go and testify and say, yes, I married her. I taught her. She used to submit to the laws of Yahweh, because think about it. The law says you must not marry a God worshiper. So there's no way Yahweh married her as a God. She wasn't a God when he married her, because he would not have married her, because Yahweh keeps his law. When Yahweh married her, she was in true agreement with the laws of Yahweh. That's when Yahweh married her. Now, I'm going to read from the Sixth Roman Newsletter, 2018. It's titled, Yahweh Chose to Make Mankind. And it's written by the Last Days Witness, of course. He said, Yahweh wants all beings in the universe to know for certain that his chosen family, the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of priests, will be fully capable of teaching, guiding, and directing the whole universe when his plan for mankind is completed. What are we going to be teaching, guiding, and directing? It's the laws of Yahweh. And I picked the law here. No, I didn't do a Yematria. But I found 322 in the law of Yahweh. And 322 is when it passed its license plates number. And it says, do not kindle a fire, anger, or wrath on the Sabbath. I chuckled when I read that. Why is it number 322? Most of the times, we have our situations on the Sabbath. And I was like, I just thought it was funny. It took me years to understand what that meant. That I had to really force myself not to break this law. You get ready for the Sabbath. Then you come into the sanctuary. Then you have an altercation. One person leaves angry. One person leaves crying. Then the law is broken. Simple as that. And it gets overlooked. And that is something we are learning. That's why we are going through it. So we can teach and guide and direct the others how to overcome that. And this, our number, 322. So it's very important that we grasp hold of it and we do our very best to keep that in mind. Because it doesn't matter if I got up early and studied. It doesn't matter if I went to work, I was the first one there. If I'm fighting with the other person sitting there, I just broke the law. It doesn't matter. Now, everything that we go through in the house of Yahweh, because Yahweh doesn't waste time. Even him allowing us to know what he went through, he didn't just tell us because he felt like telling a story. No, he told it to us so that we can understand who he is and what he's all about and what took place. So we can think about it, examine. Okay, Father Yahweh, if you didn't want me to know this, you wouldn't have A, allowed us to understand it. Why did he share this with us? When two people come together, they get married, you have a bond with this person. He's letting us see that he also had to let someone go who he loved very much. The overseer has told us that recently. He says Satan was greatly loved by Yahweh because he kept talking about her. He probably still talking about her, but she was greatly loved. Yahweh had to let her go. He's the first and perfect example. Yeshua even said it. He's the standard of perfection. He showed that he had to let someone who he loved go. Meaning, when we get to that point, some of us already had, understand that Yahweh did it first. There isn't anything Yahweh asked us to do that he hasn't done himself. And another thing about Yahweh, that Yahweh, we all know he's not evil because he's not a God. He's not the Almighty God. He's not evil. But his wife lied and said that he is. She taught that he is. She taught that he's vengeful. You better watch out. You better be on guard. It's to the point that Yahweh is blamed for things, just anything. Like I have a bad hair day. Oh, Father Yahweh, I guess you want me to go to work looking like this. Like we blame him for everything. We left the fire on the stove. The rice got burnt. I guess y'all already want me eating brown rice today. And he gets blamed for everything. A tire get flat. I didn't check the air pressure. I guess y'all already wanted me to stop right here. I mean, everything he gets blamed for. And I had to really think about it. Why am I blaming y'all for these things? I can't find a pen at work. I guess y'all already wants me to use a pencil. It's like he gets blamed. So I thought to myself, you know, Yahweh says in 2 Corinthians 6:18, he said, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. Yahweh claims us. He's our father. And I thought about it. I said, if I had to tell Yahweh anything in prayer, how many of us ever prayed and didn't ask for anything? Yes? Like when you're praying for someone else, you don't mention yourself. You know that, right? When you're praying for someone else, you focus on that individual. But how many of us prayed to Yahweh and gave him encouragement and inspiration? Think about it. How many of us put Yahweh first to that point? We're not asking. We giving. Because I tried that, and I kept crying. I was like, man, it made me see myself as, like, it brings out the unthankfulness and helps you see that I should be thankful. Just to give Yahweh encouragement and inspiration, just the thought of it, what would you say to the creator of the universe? It'd be great if he would have given us that. I mean, he could give us that excitement during the marriage supper. Each and every one of us stand up and give Yahweh some encouraging words. Tell him something that's going to inspire him. Is it difficult? Think about it. Well, not something short, you're so marvelous and awesome. No, he already knows all his attributes. No, you really, before Yahweh, giving him encouraging, uplifting, inspiring the creator of the universe. Giving him something. Instead of asking. Yes, he says to ask. But the many times that the door is open to pray to him, more than 3 times a day, of course, we can pray to him nonstop. Choose one of them praying moments to give. Give thanks to Yahweh, as it's written, it's the law. Give thanks to him. And at the end, don't be like, oh, by the way, my back hurts. It'd be great if you can help heal my back. No, focus on Yahweh. Because what that will do is, it will actually help you, because it helped me, to have a different feeling within. It helped me throughout the day to really focus on why I didn't know what to say in the beginning to someone who has given since the beginning. So just keep that in mind. With that, I turn it over to the next speaker. Greetings, everyone. Please be seated. This is Yisrael Hawkins. See, I'm the prophetic word. Okay. I'm so excited today. Today we are going to visit about one of Yahweh's attributes, but it is probably one of the most powerful things that we need to get us through this next time period. Moshe went onto the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fashioned 2 tablets of stone. Now, the tablets of stone were written on the front and the back. Not just the front. If you've ever seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, you just see them on the front. But they were written on the front and the back. And it shows us how Yahweh doesn't want us to be two-faced. We walk into the room, on the front, we have the law, and then we turn around and it's blank. We learn that the Ark of the Covenant represents our heart.
And when he came down off of the mountain, he heard singing. Now, this was not the song of the Lamb that he heard. He probably heard vulgar music. The people were given to probably whining and twerking and all kinds of, and could you imagine, like, what is this? He is in utter shock. He breaks the tablets. The scripture says he was angry and hot. Have you ever been angry and hot? He was angry and hot. He had to make them again. And he put them in the ark. In Yekezkiah 36:26, let's turn there quickly. This is on page 657. It's Yekezkiah 36:26. And it says, a new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. Now those tablets that were made of stone, this is the hardness of the hearts of the children of Israel. Now in these last days, the hearts of the children of Israel are going to be turned into flesh. I have been a little excited about Malachi chapter 4. I can't get it out of my system. Yahweh is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father before this earth is burned like an oven. The heart of stone that we are carrying right now, it is written and programmed, and it's time to erase our hearts. It's time to erase our hearts of disappointment, of hurt, of rejection, abandonment. These emotions that we are carrying within our hearts, it's preventing us from having our hearts rewritten. And I say this respectfully because I have talked to people and they may share, they sometimes will share a story. And I think, like, oh, well, when did this occur? Back when the sanctuary was in the press room? It's so long ago. But that's what they're holding. When you're on the outside looking in, you see pain differently. The person may yell at you, and they may point, and they may scream, but they're really hurting. And through experience and time, you learn to not see the that. you learn to listen to what they're really saying so you can help resolve the problem. Now, the first thing that I see sometimes is a reaction, or it's not real. Listen, House of Yahweh, these things are not real. It's not real. The God worship that we have learned and the God worship that we still teach unknowingly is the cause to our broken hearts. How do you unbreak a heart? You're waiting, I hear it. Forgiveness. And it is an active forgiveness. It is sometimes going through a place so dark where you have to forgive everything done, said, experienced. Everything. And it means blow by blow. Incident by incident. And you actively say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Once you do that, in Jeremiah 31, Yahweh, he says, I will forgive. And then he couples that with forgetting. How many want to forget? This process of forgiving, it literally erases the trauma in your heart. Your body is going to experience a relief. Yeshua, he has a yoke. And he said, carry my yoke. Take that one that you're carrying, take it off of you. We're not meant to carry that yoke. That's not our burden. We can't carry it. Mankind wasn't created to carry it. But because of sin, these things have stripped us. Torn and torn and cut at us. And this is our opportunity to heal. In the last minute that I have, I thought last night about what Yeshua was wearing. He is decked out today. Our high priest and king is decked out. I'm sure he has his breastplate, his ephah, his sash, his misnephah. I mean, his linen is probably so crispy. He has a different kind of starch than pump. Stand, House of Yahweh. We are soon going to see our King. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. I was just thinking how we have the young and the old, the tall and the short. And I've got two of them, and I'm working on the other two. Okay, so the title of my speech today is, What About Today? And I'll tell you a little story. It's a true story. A few years ago, I was going to do a cleanse, and I was consulting with a nutritionist, and she was helping me get everything set up. We were on the phone, and she said, and we got everything ready, and I said, okay, I'll start tomorrow. And she said, what about today? And I said, I couldn't talk. All I could think about was the cake and the chicken and the burgers and bagels and everything that I had planned out for the last day. And today? No way. And I didn't. I started the next day, and the cleanse didn't go real well. But I started thinking about how we could do that with sin, because I didn't want to let go of that food yet. And sometimes there might be just some little thing out there that we don't want to let go of. It could be anything. It could be a fast food restaurant. It could be family. It could be shopping and going out and playing, movies, anything that we want to hold on to. And maybe in our mind we might even think, well, I'm going to watch this one last movie and then I won't watch anymore. But I didn't finish the cleanse, remember that? And I think that if we keep holding on to these little things, we won't finish the race. In Matthew 21:22, it says, Yeshua says, another man, his disciple, said to him, Teacher, let me go first and bury my father. Yeshua said to him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Think about it. If we're tempted, it was easier to go to a fast food restaurant. But you can cook your own food or eat at the cafeteria and not worry about eating somebody's spit or worse, because when you eat out there, that's what you're probably eating. They do it all the time. Now, another way you can look at looking at what about today, and the Kohana touched on it quite a bit, is are we living for today? Have you ever spent a whole day thinking about something that upset you or that hurt you or anything in the past and going over it and over it and over it all day long, like it's stuck in your brain? I know I have. Do you know that while you're doing that, in your body, you are there. You're in that reaction. You're in that mode that you go into for protection the whole day. And maybe at the end of the day, you might say, wow, what did I do today? Where was I? Oh, I was worrying about that. Or in the future, you might have something on your mind and be up all night long worrying about it. And whatever you're picturing is going to occur to you, it's occurring to you. And then when it comes to it, it won't even occur most of the time. It's not as bad as you thought it was. So they did an experiment, and it's in the Time magazine, and on Friday, Prep Day, this first month, 2007, it's called The Brain, How the Brain Rewires Itself. It's a fairly modest experiment that they did, and they had volunteers that they had them play the piano. They had them like a five-finger practice. They did it for 60 beats per minute for 5 days. After they got done, they had this equipment. It's called a transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, and they did a test on them with this, and it showed the activity in their brain. And everything lit up. They said what the scientists found was after a week of practice, the stretch of motor cortex devoted to the five-finger movements took over surrounding areas like dandelions on a suburban lawn. So they could see all that activity in their brain. Well, the finding was in line with a growing number of discoveries at the time showing the greater use of a particular muscle causes the brain to devote more cortical real estate to it. But the man that did it said he didn't want to stop there. He extended the experiment by having another group of volunteers merely think about practicing the piano exercise. They just thought about it. They played the simple piece of music in their head, holding their hands still while imagining how they would move their fingers. Then they too sat beneath the TMS coil. When the scientists compared the TMS data to the two groups, those who actually tickled the ivories and those who only imagined, they glimpsed into a revolutionary idea about the brain, the ability of mere thought to alert the physical structure and function of gray matter. For what the TMS revealed was that the region of the motor cortex that controls the piano-playing fingers also expanded in the brains of the volunteers who imagined playing, just the same as in the ones that were playing it. So all they did was picture it in their mind. Like if you're picturing something in your mind, that's why Yahshua says in Matthew, what is it? See, remember he says in Matthew 5, 27 through 28, if you think about it, you've done it, you've sinned. Just think about it. If we think about anything in our mind that's against the law and we picture it, it's the same as if we've done it. That's why we've sinned. So sometimes we get carried away and say, well, I just thought it. I didn't do it. But if you thought it, you did it. What we have to do is learn to stop that thought before it comes. And if we have a thing out there that we're worrying about or that we long for, I think most of us have family, you can't. You can't do that. Because if you're thinking about them, think about it. If we're thinking about them or something else, are we thinking about Yahweh? No, and we can't serve too. In Matithia, In Matithia 19:21-22, Yahshua said to him, if you want to come to perfection of Yahweh, go and sell what you have. And he's talking to the rich man here that came and asked him what he had to do to be in the kingdom. And give your third tithe for the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and you will be walking in Yahweh's ways and following me. Can you imagine walking in Yahweh's ways, especially following him around dressed like he's going to be? But when the young man heard what he was saying, he went away in sorrow, for he had great possessions. And we don't have to be rich to do that. We can be poor and still not want to give up something. Poor people don't pay third tithe. Rich people don't pay third tithe, some. I'm just assuming they don't, but I'm sure there are some. But if your heart is in the house of Yahweh, if your heart is here, you will pay your tithe and you won't hold on to anything. You know, Pastor has told us, he even made a song for us. Remember the Ten Commandments song? I'm not going to sing it. But he made that song so if something come into our mind or a worldly song, we could start humming that. Remember? Are you still humming it? I am. Okay, so, and he tells us, that's why he says, study, study. If your thoughts or your mind's going back or forward where it shouldn't be, sit down and study. Grab a book. If you're in the car, turn the radio on. Turn a sermon on. Pastor has made every way you can think of for us to succeed. Only we can make ourselves fail. So, lost my. If we focus on what is great in the house of Yahweh, if we focus on the laws of Yahweh, if we focus on each other, the classes, the work. I've been through some hard times, and every time I get in a situation like that, Pastor will say, go to work, go to work, go to work. Because at work, you're not thinking about you so much. And if you are, you got people there to support you and say, let me help you. Hey, what's wrong with you? Get a smile or whatever. You've got friends. You've got people that love you. So what we really have to focus on is what's coming. And yes, don't look in the future worrying. Look in the future of what's to come, because we are just, I'm one of them people can't imagine. I can't see that picture of what it's going to be. But one thing I do know, we're all going to be peace. We're going to have peace. We're going to have no pain. these emotions will be totally under control, and we'll be able to enjoy life, and the test will be over. So just everybody keep working hard, and whatever you do, don't let those little thoughts pull you out of the house of Yahweh, because one little thought, just one little thought, will pull you out. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, sisters. Please be seated. Have you ever stopped and thought in just one day how much choices you make? One day, how much choices you make. From what to wear, whether to comb your hair or not, what to do, what to think, and so on. Literally, in one day, you make hundreds of choices. I know you know this, so my PS crew, what is a choice? You can say it aloud. What is a choice? Oh, head judge, seriously. Huh? Yes. A choice is defined as the power to make a selection between one or more options. The self-control unit, page 16. One or the other, right? Some choices are minor, but some have the power to have a lasting effect for a very long, long time, even forever. Every single morning we get up, we are presented with two options: to do righteousness or to do evil. Only two. These are the two options. No gray, no middle, nothing. One or the other. And one have a, and both have forever consequences. Let's look at someone who I have admired for a long time. In Matthew chapter 1, we see the long line of genealogy of Yeshua Messiah, right? Remember that? So-and-so begets so-and-so, so-and-so begets so-and-so. But if you notice and you read it, they only mention a few women. A few women. One they mentioned was Rhea. Remember Rhea? Yes, you remember Rhea. She was a what? A Moabite. Right? And in Numbers chapter 21, it tells us what a Moabite is. Long story short, a Moabite is a God-worshipping nation. Right? They worship the gods. They reverence the gods and not Yahweh. But Rhea was faced with a choice. One, to go back to her people, to her God and her Elohims, or to remain and serve Yahweh. Let's read her choice in Rhea chapter 1, verse 16. Rhea chapter 1, verse 16. But Rhea said, she was speaking to her mother-in-law Naomi, but Rhea said, "Do not urge me to leave you, to turn back from following you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will become my people. Your mighty one is now my..." Yes, my mighty one, my father, right? So that was Rhea's choice. She chose to serve Yahweh. Could you imagine the turmoil she was going through? Go back to my people, my kindred, and do what I want, when I want. Or stay here and reverence Yahweh and follow his laws. That internal turmoil, the back and the forth with the carnality, it was a bitter struggle. It was not an easy decision for her, most likely. But she made her choice, a decision to choose Yahweh. She's no different from any one of us, no different. We are faced with this same choice every day. Turn around and go back to the gods, or stay in the house of Yahweh and keep his laws. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. You know where we're going with this, right? See, I have set before you this day, life by righteousness or death by consequent. Righteousness and death and destruction, verse 19. I call heaven and earth. Yeah, overseers explained that this is the kingdoms of the heavens as witness against you this day, right? That I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are a free agent to make your own choices between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life so you and your sisters, so you and your children may live. Right? So, choose life. We are on trials before the kingdom of heavens, every one of us. And the overseer has said he is writing a report on each one of us, and he will not lie on these reports. So we have to choose one or the other, life or death, blessings or curses, righteousness or evil. And Yahweh wants us to choose his way of life. But it is up to us, each one of us, to choose. Because we are free agents to choose. What will each one of us choose? Please turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verse 11. This is another example of a choice made, starting in verse 11. Then the parable of the prodigal son. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. Now the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the possessions of the property which is coming to me. So he divided the inheritance between them. Inheritance. What is our inheritance, house of Yahweh? The kingdom of Yahweh. That is our inheritance. Then not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and journeyed to a distant land. And they squandered his property with riotous living. I want you to circle that word there, riotous living. Pay attention to that word. But first, I'd like to show you what is the meaning of a prodigal son. What this child stole, what this child chose to do. A prodigal son, one who leaves the house of Yahweh either physically, meaning you get up and walk, or spiritually, whereby your body is here, but not your heart. Right? It could go either way. You're here sitting, but what are your choices? Does your choices reflect that? Okay, riotous. In the Amplified Bible, the word riotous, they also translated it as restraint. Restraint. Now, don't disappoint me, okay? Don't disappoint me. In the last book of Israel test, what does the word restraint mean? It was on your test. Oh no. What does the word restraint mean? Remember, we have to learn these things, remember these things. It says, without self-control, unable to keep themselves under control. This is what restraint did, and this is what the prodigal son did. He was not able to control himself. Look at the. I'd like you to look at the definition from Google.com. The definition of prodigal: reckless, wasteful, imprudent, immoderate, excessive, in self-indulgent. Some big words, some really big words, but it always boiled down to having no purpose, thoughtless, not showing care for consequences of our actions, rash. Immoderate means not sensible or restrained. Lack of self-control, immoderate. And self-indulgent means categorized by doing or tending to do exactly what one wants, especially when it involves pleasure or idleness. So this is the life the the son chose, right? This is the life he chose. So let us continue reading in verse 14. But when he had spent everything, there arose a great famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Time's hard, so then you want to remember Yahweh, right? When time's hard, when the bomb drop, I'll run back to the house of Yahweh. Verse 18, I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and before you. I am no longer to be worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Make me be one like your hired servants. Right? Yes, King David said in Psalms, it is better to be a doorkeeper, yes. Is it better to be a doorkeeper than not to be in the kingdom of Yahweh? Yes, that is true. But the consequences of this way he chose, what he could have been if he did not leave his father's house, what he could have been, what he could have attained. Think about these things, sisters. Verse 19, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Right? He showed repentance here. After times got hard and tough, he showed repentance. And overseer explained, to show repentance is to change your mind for the better, amending your ways and your past sins. And your past sins. So continuing verse 24. For this my son was dead, but is alive again. He was lost, but is found. And they began to be merry. So the father is rejoicing that the son repented and come back. He came back. But at what cost? What cost? What could he have been in the first place if he did not leave? Verse 29, he was talking to his older son now, and he answered, saying to his father, see how I serve you many years, and at no time did I ever transgress your commandments, and you have never given me much as one young goat and as much and merry with my friends. So this is the father speaking to the son, because the older son was very upset when this occurred, right? I would like you to read a quote from the second book of Israel. But overseer talked about the prodigal son. Second book of Israel. When you are tempted, you are not the first. I tell you what, you can throw away your salvation away in one instant, one choice. Yahweh showed this by the inheritance. He showed this to you in many instances, like with the prodigal son who threw away his inheritance. No one ever gets that picture that Yeshua is painting there. Yes, he threw it all away because he got up, left, and went into the world. Yes, he came back. Yes, he may have even gotten eternal life, only eternal life, but he won't be fit for that kingdom. He proved himself unfit for the kingdom. That's what Yeshua said. We will cover that more in detail one of these days. So this was the second book of Israel, chapter 16, verse 93. The son could have been, as Psalms 8 says. Look at what he gave up. Psalms 8, verse 6. You made man to be ruler over the works of your hands. You will put all these things under his feet. This is what he could have been. He could have been a teacher in the house of Yahweh. But no, he's stuck at being a doorkeeper. I don't want this to occur to any one of us. Redeem our time. Use it wisely. Right? And study for the test. Study for the test. So sisters, please think about these things. What you could become. What is set before us every day. The choices we make. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. I did not get to wave you, so I'll do it really fast now. Please sit. I'd like to entitle my portion today, Law Number One. Law Number One. Believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. Exodus 22. Do not fear. Believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. Exodus 22. Do not fear. The great one sent said on 2/9/19, he said, you have to believe in Yahweh. And you have to prove to him that you believe him. And he quoted, he referenced Exodus 20:20. To me, it's a little bit interesting. The same scripture that says believe in Yahweh is the same one that says Yahweh is going to test you. Exodus 20. Yahshua, do not fear. Is there any account of Yahshua being afraid of anything? Was he afraid when he was on the ship and it was swaying back and forth? Was he afraid saying, oh my, the ship is going to sink? Was Yahshua afraid? He just came and he prayed and he said, everything, microorganisms, be still, Leo, let's go on. He wasn't afraid. Was he afraid when the demons came and the demons, when they saw Yahshua coming from a distance? Was Yahshua afraid? Believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. No, the demons, they asked Yahshua respectfully, can you kindly let us, you know this, the thingy. What was Yahshua afraid of? Great House of Yahweh, of what should we be afraid? So I'm asking you today, I'm asking us, me too. If we believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe, believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. Yahshua did this. I heard it said, Yahshua knew Yahweh had his back. I heard a speaker use that phrase, so I took it right away. Yahshua knew Yahweh had his back. Death? Was he afraid of death? No! Yahweh, Yahshua found out that he was going to die. Yahweh, and he found out that Yahweh said, I'll raise you in 3 days. Did Yahshua believe that? Of course. Not even death could keep Yahshua in the ground. He believed. So today I'm asking us, do we believe like that? We have to. We must. Law number one, and do not fear. Do you believe that Yahweh created the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that are in them? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the earth is great Yahweh's and its fullness? The whole world and everything belong to Yahweh, and he will do what he wants as he deems necessary? Do you believe that the adversary, the wife of Yahweh, turned in bitterness and jealousy of Yahweh's plan for mankind? And now Yahweh is using her to oppress mankind, influencing us to do the things that we know we should not do. Influencing us to hurt each other, mankind. Yahweh is using her, she and the gods in opposition to Great Father, to hurt. We can just say hurt. Hurt covers a lot. But all of us here, all of us over the media, Yahweh's people he's chosen, wherever we are. We must not fare. We should not fare. Yahweh gave her a drawing line this far and no further when it comes to his people. You can do this, you can do that. Look at Job. But this far, you stop right here. True or false? Fear, to me, I think, is one of the ways Daniel says to us, the adversary, she torments the mind. She causes us to, how does the scripture say it? Our mind is to fall away. Tumult. Constantly. We have a short clip on fear. Could be played, please? Oh, fear. Fear is known to keep us stagnant in more ways than one. The what-if scenarios that linger through our minds are caused by a little thing called fear. And that fear is sadly something many of us can't get rid of. For some, it has been the driving force in our lives, causing us to live a life of grief, regret, and missed opportunities. Fear.
I wonder how we can approach this problem. Because this is a common problem in the world. Everyone, or can say almost everyone, is frightened of something. Or it may be the fear of death, fear of loneliness, fear of not being loved, fear of not becoming famous, successful, or also fear of not having physical security, and fear of not having psychological security. There's so many multiple forms of fears. Now, to go into this problem really very deeply, can the mind, and in which includes the brain, be really, fundamentally, be free of fear?
Can the mind, the brain, be really free of fear? Yes. Why? Because let's look at Psalm 27. Wait on Yahweh. If Yahweh tells us do not fear, then our mind, our brain, yes, can be free of fear. Psalm 27, wait on Yahweh. It says, Yahweh is our light, you are our salvation. Yahweh is the strength of our lives. In whom shall we fear? In what shall we fear? Of whom shall we be afraid? Of what shall we be afraid? When the evil compass us, in what shall we fear? Shall we be afraid? When our foes come, they stumble and they fell back. They stumble and fell. Our hearts shall have no fear. Though a host, demons, should camp against us, the war should arise, we are confident. One thing we desire of Yahweh, we'll skip. We seek after it all the days of our lives so we can dwell in Yahweh's house, to hear your beauty, to inquire of you in your sanctuary. We will skip. In your pavilion, in your tabernacle, in the secret place you will hide us. We will skip. Hide not your great face. Hide not your great face. Hear us now, great Yahweh. Hear us now, great Yahweh. We believe Yahweh's righteousness. We believe Yahweh's righteousness. Be of great courage. Be of great courage. Be of great courage. Wait you on Yahweh. Wait you on Yahweh. Wait you on Yahweh. Whatever you are going through in your individual lives, be of great courage. Wait you on Yahweh. Yahweh will strengthen. Wait on him. Praise Yahweh. And with this, we turn over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh.